joining us today. I'm Christina Thompson, and in this issue of Live Living Magazine, we're exploring meditation. With us today is Father Thomas Francis, a monk at the Monastery of the Holy Spirit in Conyers, Georgia. Thank you, Father, for taking time today to educate us about meditation and what it means for us as Christians.
You're welcome, Christina.
Now, to the average Christian, meditation is a word with mixed associations. Some think of it as a dark experience. Others may think of it as belonging to the New Age movement. Some look at it as simply thinking about, you know, the Word of God. As Joshua chapter 1 emphasizes, to meditate on God's Word day and night. Others may even be inclined to stay away from it completely. Now, according to the monastic tradition that has continued this ancient practice, could you please explain to us what meditation is exactly?
Yeah, yes, Christina. In the monastic tradition, which goes back to the times of the Desert Fathers, but was written down more in the Middle Ages, there is a very serious distinction between meditation and contemplation. Meditation is to read or hear a text, either a sermon or reading a text, and then you use your four faculties, the intellect, the will, the imagination, and the memory. You reflect on what was heard or read. You mull over it. How does it apply to me? Can I use it today, or is it for somebody else? Or I can't get anything out of it, so you read some more. It is reflecting on a text. I use the three words, read the text, reflect on it. What does it mean to me? You don't have to ask the question, what did it mean to the author, or what does it mean to general Christians? What does it mean to me? You reflect on that, and then you respond. All right, I will accept it. I will try and put it into practice. Well, those read, reflect, respond is meditation. You use the four faculties of intellect, will, imagination, and memory. Contemplation is then you become quiet and receptive. Meditation is communication, either the written word or the spoken word, and then you respond to it. Contemplation is being silent. It is being receptive. It is not even saying to God, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, because that is seeking an answer or a response. You want to just be with God, communing with the divine tree without any words or thoughts or images.
Oh, that's very good. So you say text. Now, would that be the Bible?
Well, that's the principal text for Christians. But, I mean, I just read four times the book, The Shack. I think that is a wonderful book on the Trinity and forgiveness and Christian values. So I've read it four times, reflecting on it and getting more out of it each time I read it. So it doesn't have to be the Bible, but that's the main source that we should use. You know, we allow preachers to reflect on the text and then to tell us on Sunday what it's about. Well, we Christians shouldn't just limit ourselves to what the preacher says or the priest. Read the text yourself and let God speak to you through the written word. After all, the preacher or the priest is throwing out his idea, his reflections and thoughts about the text. Well, it's about time people sit down and read the text themselves and let God and them work it out.
So would you find meditation or contemplation, for that matter, to be a good discipline for anyone, even a Christian?
Oh, by all means. I think, you see, that's what we abdicate the meaning of the text to official interpreters like the minister or the priest or the pastor. And it's about time Christians, you know, say, well, I can read the text myself. And in fact, God and I can work out the text for ourselves. So I think it's for everyone, whether it's a youngster or a middle-aged person or a businessman or a military officer. That's the communion with God, between you and God, rather than mediated through someone else or someone else's book.
As Christians, all aspects of our lives are to be led by the Holy Spirit, and that would include meditation should we choose to practice it. Now, what role does the Holy Spirit play in the practice of meditation?
Well, the Spirit has already told us in no uncertain terms that He has inspired the Bible, the New Testament writers, and the Old Testament writers. So we know that that text is inspired. But we're not so sure when we read a spiritual book, or, you know, like The Shack or The Da Vinci Code or Time Magazine or Newsweek or Twitter or our computer, that this is inspired stuff. That requires now reflection. And is it true? Does it square with the Bible? Does it square with Christian values? And then go on from there. And the Spirit will help us. You know, a red flag goes up when you read, for instance, the Da Vinci Code and some of the anti-Christian virulence in that text. Or when you read The Shack, you see this man is really committed to God, to the Holy Trinity, and to forgiveness. So we need the Spirit in both, in the written text, because the written text was given to us 2,000 years ago or more, between 3,000 and 2,000 years. How to contextualize that and apply it to modern times? You know, the Bible talks about sheep and goats and grapes and wheat. Well, we don't live in that context. We live in a scientific, technical society. And so we need the Spirit, either mediated through the text or through prayer and contemplation, to adapt this material to our living everyday life in our scientific, technical society. That requires meditation, and not just turning it over to somebody else to tell us what to do.
Now, with all that being said, what effect does, you know, meditating for ourselves have on our minds?
Oh, see, the meditation is to give God an opportunity, the Holy Spirit, to speak to you from what your situation is. For instance, suppose there's a family problem. Perhaps even divorce, or a child is on drugs, or should I date somebody, or should I pay this tax, or whatever it is. You know, you have to, it is to adapt the Christian values that you learn from the Bible to the situation in your family, at your workplace, what you're going to recreate with, what you're going to do on Facebook and Twitter, and who you're going to allow to get into your mail or computer or so on. So we do need the Holy Spirit to guide us in the multiplicity of forms of communication. And, you know, come Holy Spirit, please help me. Is Senator so-and-so saying right, or is President Obama fooling us? And look at the dozens of answers you can get from that one. Some think he's a villain. Others think he's a prophetic figure. Well, you pray over it, listen to these people, and then you reflect and respond. That's meditation. A contemplation is being alone with God on God's terms, being receptive, but no problems or questions to ask.
Okay. With the mind being such an integral part, can someone meditate while doing tasks such as washing dishes or any other activity, or is it important to be still before God?
Well, you see, there's a time for meditation. You know, when you're preparing for an exam, you're not playing golf and then looking at a physics text or economics text. You've got to concentrate. You've got to bring your powers of concentration and reflection to the text. But there are other things, like playing golf and speaking to God about the good weather and golf balls and the company you're doing. So these are two different operations. Some we need total quiet time to be with God for meditation and or contemplation. And other times we can take a text of scriptures your life is hidden with Christ in God. Or when you're walking down Broadway or even in a theater, or even a restaurant, that text can be mulled over. So it depends on what purpose you're doing. If you want to seriously address an issue, family, family or work or otherwise, then you want to concentrate. Or in other occasions, like waiting in the dentist's office, I mean, should you just mow yourself over with Household Living or Sports Illustrated? Or can't you read a text and mull over it there? It depends on the situation and the time. You know, both are important, but serious matters, you need to concentrate on the text and the Lord.
Now, if indeed we can meditate while doing other things, what should we do when distracting thoughts enter our minds?
Well, you see, you're going to be open to distraction if you're out for a walk, and you're reflecting on a biblical text or the message of a book like the Shack or the Da Vinci Code. There's a multiplicity of operations going on here. You got to cross the street. You got to stop and look both directions. You may see a billboard or a vehicle coming, and so on. It depends on what the person is doing, how much concentration can be given to meditation. But, you know, I think every day some people should take some quality time with either the Bible or an important spiritual text. And also, do not eliminate God from your ordinary activities, like I say, playing golf or driving your car. You don't have to be totally concentrated on your three mirrors, right, center, and left, and looking at the other cars. There is even a way of being in the presence of God while doing these complex activities. And that's what concentration generally gets to. And meditation shows you the opportunity when and how to do that. So we need both, Christina.
Okay, because in our busy schedules today, finding time to dedicate to meditation or contemplative prayer can prove to be a difficult task in itself. When is the best time or most appropriate time for meditation?
Well, Christina, in general, the two categories are morning persons and evening persons. Even in the monastic life, we have them. Some people do better with serious meditation and contemplation in the morning after they had a good night's sleep. Others are night persons. They're too sleepy in the morning. They can't concentrate. So, depending on your temperament there, but most people, their range is pretty broad. It's not either or. It's both and. That's personally where I am. I can do it both in the morning and in the evening. But so, know who you are. And if you're going to fall asleep on God, well, you know, get your nap or your sleep. And when you're fully awake, particularly when you're going to meditate on God, and also the serious concentration that's needed for silence and communion with God, just, you know yourself. When's your best performance?
I see. Thank you again, Father Francis, for sharing with us your vast knowledge on the subject of meditation and to know the difference between meditation and contemplation. I know I certainly learned a lot, and I believe others will find it just as enlightening. You know, your dedication to this practice is definitely to be admired. Thank you again.
Thank you.
And God bless you.
Thank you, Christina, and thank you for the opportunity to express our more monastic and Catholic tradition.
Yes, wonderful. Thank you very much.
God bless you, dear.
Bye-bye
now.
Bye-bye.